You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Oh man, it is good to be back. Welcome into the Locked On Kings podcast, Monday edition. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage each and every single weekday, of course, when I'm not either sick or on vacation. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, hot takes, cold takes, interviews with all the local and national experts, player interviews, coach audio, we have it all right here for you. If you call yourself a Kings fan, you are in the right place. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I have missed you all. Thank you so much for your patience while I was on vacation. I had a fantastic week in Southern California. I know it's possible to actually have a good time in Southern California as long as you're going to Disneyland. And that's where my family and I went last week. So no podcasts all last week, which I know was a struggle for many of you. And I am so sorry that I was not able to find a replacement during that time and that we had no podcasts during that All-Star break. So I apologize. I ask for your forgiveness. But I also want to express my gratitude towards all of you, the thousands of you that listen to the podcast every single day. Those of you that come to the Locked On Kings podcast is one of your top hubs, if not your number one for daily Kings conversation, daily Kings news, entertainment. All of you that take the time to listen to me and to listen to this podcast, I promise you, I do not take it for granted. And I was feeling very thankful and very humbled over that week-long vacation by the amount of you that were reaching out to me asking when I'd be back or where the Locked On Kings podcast was. I appreciate each and every single one of you so much, and I just wanted to express that here right off the bat. I had a great vacation, but as you can hear, my voice is a little bit scratchy and I'm still a little bit congested. I was sick before the vacation, which is why I missed some podcasts a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, I go on the vacation, which I was completely healthy for, but it was rainy and cold in LA, which I didn't think was supposed to happen, but it did. And I came back sick again. So all weekend, I've been trying to nurse another cold. I'm getting over it. There was no way I was missing doing the podcast, but if you hear me pause from time to time or sniff from time to time or sound scratchy, I apologize. I'm getting over another cold and I will be back to normal here so we can go back to daily coverage as we follow every single step of this crazy playoff race in the Western Conference. The Sacramento Kings trying to break a 12 plus year playoff drought and bring playoff basketball back to Sacramento and to the Golden One Center for the first time in that brand new state-of-the-art building's fantastic history. We're going to be all over the place on today's podcast here today, so I'm warning you ahead of time, we're going out of order. We're going to talk about the altercation between Buddy Hield and head coach Dave Joerger after the Golden State Warriors game here in just a second. We're also going to discuss the Kings' win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'll discuss All-Star Weekend, and we will wrap up with a brief preview of the Kings taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. That is a lot to get to, so I'm going to try and get to all of it as quickly as I can here. So please bear with me, and we will dive through everything, and we'll start with the altercation that took place between head coach Dave Joerger and Kings sharpshooter Buddy Hield in the Golden State Warriors game. Now, before we get to that, I have to discuss the game itself. The Kings lost to the Golden State Warriors again, unfortunately, so the Warriors complete the four-game sweep of the Kings this season. However, the Kings lost by a combined 10 points in all four games, which means that the Kings kept it close and were competitive in each of the four games, which coming into this season was all we could ask for. Now, the fact that the Kings lost all four games and had a chance and should have won all four games, Kevin Durant said it himself on the Golden State Warriors postgame in his postgame press conference. He said, man, that's a really good team and they should have beaten us all four times this season, but we just found a way to win. And it came down to just specific plays and specific mistakes by the Kings. You look at the first game in Golden State, Kings needed a defensive rebound to win the game. Instead, they give up an offensive rebound, a putback, and lo and behold, Kings are 0-1. Then Kings have a big lead against the Warriors late in the fourth quarter in game one in Sacramento, game two of the season series. Can't hold on to that. They're 0-2. Then they make a massive comeback in game three in Sacramento. Can't hold on to it, though. The Warriors put it away. They're 0-3. And then in this game, the Kings had the lead for the majority of the contest. It went back and forth towards the end. The Warriors flipped the script. Kings trying to make a comeback. Couldn't do it towards the end. Warriors win again. 0 for the sweep of the regular season series, but the fact that the Kings were competitive in all those games has been a bright spot. The Kings and the Warriors have been so much fun to watch all season long. But nobody was talking about that after that game. Everybody was talking about the altercation that took place between Jaeger and Buddy Hield. And everybody got wind of this because why? The TV broadcast picked it up completely. Set the scene for you really quick. I'm sure all of you are aware of it, but I'll go through it very briefly. Kings are down 6. They need a three-pointer. They need a big bucket quickly to get themselves back in the game to potentially make a comeback and steal a win against the Warriors in Oracle Arena. Kings come out of a timeout in a half-court set. Buddy Hield chucks a 30-plus three-pointer with a hand in his face, makes the shot, but head coach Dave Jaeger is clearly frustrated by the shot selection. He and Buddy Hield get into a heated exchange, very animated exchange on the sidelines. Kevin Durant is actually there for the whole thing, listening to it, smiling through it all, and then actually has some words for Buddy Hield afterwards. And, of course, Damian Lillard got wind of it, tweeting about it on social media, going against Dave Jaeger, saying, why are you talking like that to your player? It could have cost you the game, as everybody thought it had an effect on Buddy Hield not taking a potentially game-winning three-pointer when the Kings were down by 2 and needed a bucket. Instead, he forced a tough mid-range jumper that didn't go in. Of course, the Kings ended up losing. So that was the entire situation. Now, let me preface this by saying that I didn't see this live. I was at Disneyland at the time. I followed it on social media and then went back and watched it later when I got back to my hotel room. But based off of what I saw on social media, my initial reaction was, man, Dave Jaeger's in the wrong here. Even though Buddy Hield took a very tough shot, he made it. You needed a shot like that. You needed a bucket like that. There's a time and place to handle your business. That was not the time and place. It was a bad look for Dave Jaeger, and many felt the same way. So that was my initial reaction to the entire thing. But then I got full context, and the context was provided by excellent coverage from Jason Anderson of the Sacramento Bee. If you don't follow Jason Anderson on Twitter, if you're not a subscriber of the Sacramento Bee, you need to be. Jason Anderson is in his first year as the Sacramento Kings beat writer, and he does a fantastic job. He was all over this entire situation, and here is what he broke down. Now, there are three separate stories. One was a report of what actually happened. One was the player responses to what happened. And then one was head coach Dave Jaeger's response to what happened. This was over the course of a few days. And I'm going to share all of this for you very, very briefly. Initially, here is what Jason Anderson reported took place. Head coach Dave Jaeger told or asked Buddy Hield, why don't you coach the effing team, after Buddy Hield allegedly ignored a play call for that deep three. So head coach Dave Jaeger called a specific play coming out of that timeout to get either Buddy Hield or somebody a look. Buddy Hield ignored that play call to chuck up what was a bit of a Hail Mary shot. Now, Buddy Hield has been one of the best shooters in the game this season, or in all of the league this season, really. So Buddy Hield made the shot, which was great, but it was not the shot that Dave Jaeger wanted. Now, imagine if Hield had missed the shot. The game would have been over. Of course, we're talking about hypotheticals, and he made the shot, so all this doesn't matter. It's all hindsight. But had he missed the shot and ignored the play call, it would have been horrible, catastrophic, and would have cost the Kings the game. Thankfully, he made the shot. It could put the Kings in a position to win the game later. Then Jason Anderson released this article about basically players responding to the entire situation. Costa Kufos and De'Aaron Fox spoke on it very briefly, and I want to share with you what they had to say. We'll start with Costa Kufos, which is, of course, one of the veteran leaders in this Kings locker room, and here is what he said. He said, quote, Buddy is a hell of a player, and Coach Jaeger is a hell of a coach. All of us get along. All of us do. We have one team, one goal, which is to make the playoffs. We fought hard against Golden State, and that was the biggest thing. There's a great relationship between all players and coaches, and right now our focus is the playoffs. De'Aaron Fox also spoke briefly on it, and here's what he said. He said, we're fine. It doesn't feel any different, does it? Everything's fine. It's part of the game. It happens on every level. So the players themselves diminishing the situation, which I appreciate, but then Head coach Dave Yeager spoke to the members of the media about the altercation, how everything went down, and he expressed some remorse. Here's what he said. He said, quote, "I was a little animated at the time, or at a time when the cameras are really on you and you're kind of out there. That stuff shouldn't happen in front of people." He also said, "Those kind of things do happen, and they're resolved when it's over. What happens on the court happens on the court. Things are said, and I love him, Buddy Hield, to death. And we've got a great group of guys with good chemistry. We get along really well." So Dave Yeager is expressing some remorse for how everything went down, disappointed in himself for allowing himself to get that animated, to get that frustrated, especially after Hield made the shot. He's also a little bit frustrated, obviously, that the cameras picked up on it. But in today's NBA, with the amount of coverage that's out there, you have to be more aware that somebody somewhere is going to be keeping an eye on you, and especially with the animated of a conversation as they had between the two of them, you knew some camera somewhere was going to pick it up. So Yeager, obviously aware of that, expressing some remorse, and I absolutely appreciate that. So now that we have all of that context, I'll share my thoughts on the entire situation. The question was head coach Dave Yeager in the wrong? And I can see both sides of this entire issue. I tend to lean more on the side of Buddy Hield because he made the shot. However, I do understand where head coach Dave Yeager is coming from. First and foremost, one of his biggest strengths as a coach, and this is something that is not shouldn't be new to anybody who either listens to this podcast or who follows the Kings, one of head coach Dave Yeager's biggest strengths is drawing up plays and getting baskets out of timeouts. So I completely trust him to draw up the right play to get the Kings a good shot there late. What the play that he drew up clearly was not followed by that Buddy Hield three. I don't think he drew up a play to just say inbound to Buddy and shoot a tough shot over Kevin Durant and hope it goes in. That was clearly not the play call. Buddy Hield, I'm not going to say he was selfish at all because he's not. Buddy Hield is not a selfish player whatsoever. But he took a moment to be a hero. He ignored a play call because he got a look. He felt it. Ultimately, he made the shot, which is great. But he took a moment kind of for himself, a little bit of a selfish moment at the time. Thankfully, it didn't cost the Kings, but you can understand how a head coach who wanted a better shot could be frustrated there. Now, also, I want to speak to coaching in the NBA today. Now, I'm aware that the NBA is a players' league, and I'm aware that the star power of the NBA players is what has made the league as exciting and fun and as big and successful as it is today. So I'm not saying that's a bad thing by any means. However, in my lifetime, I have watched over the years the NBA head coach's importance get diminished. The NBA head coach has gone from being an X and O's guy who commands respect and who tells players where to be and how to act and helps them improve. That has transitioned now more into a managing player personalities role. What's happening between LeBron James and Luke Walton is a perfect example of that. What happened with LeBron James in Cleveland getting Ty Lue hired is a perfect example of that. The players are the main piece. They are in control. Now, that's been that way. It's been that way for quite a while, and there are some exceptions to the rule with Greg Popovich or Brad Stevens or even Eric Spoelstra in Miami. But for the most part, an NBA head coach's job nowadays is to manage personalities, and no coach, in my opinion, does that better than Steve Kerr. That's why the Warriors hired him. That's why the Warriors have been so successful. Kerr has been able to keep that locker room together. Now, there have been issues with, we know, Draymond Green and Kevin Durant gotten an altercation this year. Of course, there have been issues, and those kind of things blow over as you win, but Steve Kerr, other head coaches around the league, they're brought in to manage personalities, and that, to me, today, is more important in a head coach than being an X's and O's guy. So I can understand coaches' frustration when players, stars, ignore their advice, ignore their play call to try and make a big shot and to be a hero, which is exactly what Buddy Hield did. Again, it all worked out, but I understand Dave Yeager's frustration in the moment. Ultimately, though, here's what I know for sure. This entire situation, that altercation, had zero effect on Buddy Hield not taking that three-pointer towards the end. If you look at the film, if you look at a breakdown of the tape of the moment on the inbound Buddy Hield, the Kings are down two. They need a three-pointer to win or a two to tie and send it to overtime. You can see Marvin Bagley is wide open in the paint. And Marvin Bagley was the Kings' best player in this game. On the inbound, nobody was within 5 to 6 feet of Bagley. He had all the space in the world down low. And Buddy Hield saw that and elected to try and get the ball to him, or wanted to get the ball to him, rather than take another big three that would have been, once again, contested. Now, the Warriors' defense is fantastic, and as soon as Buddy Hield put the ball on the floor to try and get to a lane to where he could pass that ball to Marvin Bagley, they closed out, they shut down that pass. Buddy Hield is forced to take a really tough turnaround jumper in the lane. Ultimately, he misses, Kings lose, the rest is history. But based off of the film, based off of the context, and based off of the fact that I have spent a lot of time around Buddy Hield, and I know the kind of player he is, and I know the relationship that he has with head coach Dave Joerger, I don't believe for one second that it was Dave Joerger's fault, and Dave Joerger was the reason why Buddy Hield didn't have the confidence to take that last shot. Hield himself said he should have shot it. He's disappointed in himself. Didn't mention Dave Joerger at all in the entire situation. It was because Bagley was open. Hield saw that for a brief second in the spur of a moment, made a decision. It ended up not working out for the Kings. That is the bottom line. Now, what's fun about a playoff race, especially when it is as tight as it is currently in the Western Conference, is that even on nights that your team isn't playing, you can make up ground. And that's exactly what happened for the Sacramento Kings last night. Both the Spurs and the Clippers lost last night, which means, as of today, as of right now, the Kings are one game back of both the 8th and 7th seeds in the West, currently held by the Clippers and the Spurs, and they're two games back of the Jazz and 6th. This race is very much alive, and the Kings are not just shooting for 8, they're not just shooting for 7, they have a realistic shot at 6. Now, I'm not predicting that by any means, and I'm not saying that the Kings should get the 6th seed or it's a complete failure. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But the Kings are in the hunt, and they're aware of it, and they're not just shooting for an 8th seed to sneak in. They want to find a way to get into 7 or 6 if they can, and they did a good job of doing that by beating the Oklahoma City Thunder on Saturday, 119-116. They took the series against the Thunder 3-1, including 2 wins in Oklahoma City. That is fantastic for the Kings against a team in OKC. That is one of the top teams in the Western Conference, one of the top playoff teams right now, and who's going to be probably a top 4 seed and upper seed come the end of the season. So the Kings have played the Thunder very, very well this season. They've also played the Warriors very well this season. The difference is they've been able to win games like they did on Saturday against OKC. Now, let me start off with the bad from this game, first and foremost, really the only thing that frustrated me about this Kings win. The Kings had a 16-point lead, and the game ended up being as close as it was. The Thunder actually took a lead towards the end. Now, I'm aware that the NBA is a game of runs, and comebacks are always going to happen. But the Kings consistently, when they get off to good starts and build double-digit leads early, in either the third quarter or early fourth quarter, they watch it diminish. They watch it trickle away. And that's something that I would like to see them fix, something that they need to get better at, because good teams are not only going to just take advantage and come back into those games, they're going to end up winning those games. We saw it a lot by the Golden State Warriors. So the Kings are more aware of that than anybody, and I'm not telling them anything and telling you anything that you don't already know. That was my only real frustration, is once again, the Kings had a double-digit lead, 16 points in the first half, and they watched it trickle away to where the Thunder realistically could have and maybe should have won this game. Now on to the good. Marvin Bagley is freaking balling right now. I mean, oh my goodness, is Marvin Bagley playing well. This is absolutely ridiculous what Marvin Bagley is doing off the bench for the Kings. Now, we've seen the starting lineup change a little bit. Harrison Barnes has moved to the four with Bogdan Bogdanovic playing the three, and it's had some success here, at least in these last couple of games. Nemanja Bjelica is completely out of the rotation as of right now, which is crazy to think because of how important he was for this Kings team earlier on this season. But Joerger making some changes, and it's kind of working out. At least it worked out against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But Marvin Bagley is getting major minutes off of the bench. 36 minutes in this Oklahoma City Thunder game, had 19 points, 10 rebounds, also had 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Marvin Bagley has been everywhere on both ends of the court in these last 2 games. Also had a fantastic performance against the Golden State Warriors. This kid is the real deal. And at 19 years old, I don't care if he's coming off the bench or if he's starting. If he's putting up those numbers, he's getting starter minutes. So what more do you want? The only thing he's not getting is the introductions at the beginning of the game and being on the floor for the tip-off. He's the first one to come off the bench for the Kings. He spends a majority of time in the game rather than on the bench. I am 100% okay with Dave Joerger using this rotation if it's working, and Marvin Bagley coming in and absolutely feasting against team's second units. It's working right now for him, so why make any sort of changes? I've loved watching how he's been growing and how well he has been playing. My good buddy, Tim Maxwell from Sacktown Royalty. You've heard him on this podcast before. You can follow him on Twitter at TimMaxwell22. He's known as the Sacktown Baby Giraffe. He put out this poll, and I wanted to share it for you really quick. I'm going to give you 2 players and 2 stat lines. One is Marvin Bagley, and one is another rookie for the Sacramento Kings who had a fantastic rookie season and ended up being a pretty damn good player. Here's player A, 24 minutes, 13.6 points per game, 51% shooting from the field, 26% from three-point range, 53% effective field goal percentage, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, half a steal, 1.1 blocks, 1.6 turnovers, 17.9 per, 50% true shooting percentage, 2.4 WS. Against player B, 29 minutes, 14.1 points, 43% shooting from the field, 16% shooting from 3, 43% effective field goal percentage, 8.6 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 1 steal, 0.8 blocks, 3.3 turnovers, 14.6 per. Which player would you rather have? This poll got 454 votes. 89% of people on this poll on Twitter picked player A, who was averaging less points but had a better effective field goal percentage, a better per, more blocks, less turnovers. That player A was Marvin Bagley, and it is Marvin Bagley. Those are the numbers that Marvin Bagley is putting up right now. Player B was DeMarcus Cousins as a rookie. So 89% of people would have taken the stats and the numbers from Marvin Bagley right now over DeMarcus Cousins as a rookie. Now, what does that mean? That means that a lot of people are liking what Marvin Bagley is doing, and that statistically he is on pace to have as good of a career, if not better, than DeMarcus Cousins. And the Kings are winning basketball games. It's a fantastic time. I just thought I'd share that with you because I thought that poll was interesting, and I was really happy with the fan response. Now, I also wanted to share this tweet, courtesy of Jason Ross, my colleague, color commentator for the Sacramento Kings on the radio broadcasts, and former host of this very podcast. He tweeted this out. So if the Kings make the playoffs, they would likely face Golden State, Denver, or Oklahoma City. They have just played all 3 on the road in the last 3 games. They lost by 2, they lost by 2, and they won by 3. What does that mean? That means that the Kings are playing the top teams in the West tough. The Kings have played those top 3 teams in the West very, very tough. And if the Kings make the playoffs and then play either one of those 3 teams, I'm not predicting the Kings will win the series, but they'll certainly put up a fight and it'll be very fun to watch. The Kings are aware that they can beat anybody on any given night and they are not a team to be taken lightly. They should not be afraid of anybody based off of how they've played here in the regular season. So I wanted to share that with you as well. Next, we'll talk about All-Star Weekend very briefly and we will preview the Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. I told you I was going to do everything in my power over the weekend before I left on vacation to do an All-Star Weekend podcast. I'm so sorry I was not able to do it, not able to get the studio time to be able to record it for you, and I didn't want to record something at home and sound like I was in a tin can or it be bad quality. So I apologize. I really do apologize. I know I told many of you that I was going to put a podcast out and you were looking forward to it, so I'm very sorry about that. So allow me to make it up for you really briefly here towards the end of this podcast episode. Here's what I want to say, and here's what I would have said over a 25-minute span over the weekend. The All-Star Weekend sucked. I'm bored out of my mind, man, watching All-Star Weekend. I cannot get into it. Even the fact that the Kings had so much representation in the Rising Stars Challenge and on Saturday night, I could not care less. I was bored. Now, the Kings did have some good moments, and Kings players did have some good moments. All-Star Saturday night, in my opinion, is 10 times more entertaining than the Rising Stars Challenge and then the All-Star game itself. I didn't watch a single second of the All-Star game on Sunday. Maybe that's bad on me. I didn't care. I just didn't care. The Kings had zero representation in the game, and I have zero interest in watching schoolyard basketball between superstars. I don't care. It's not competitive. It's boring to me. I had higher expectations for the Rising Stars Challenge. I didn't expect anybody to play lockdown defense by any means, but I expected players to at least take it somewhat seriously. And maybe I'm in the wrong, but I feel like the game last year, or the 2018 All-Star game and the 2018 Rising Stars Challenge, was a little bit more competitive than this game was. Team USA beat Team World 161-114 in the Rising Stars Challenge. And I was bored, man. I just didn't care. Now, I was hosting the Grant Napier Show at the time on that Friday night. So I was hosting during the first hour or so of the game. But God, was it boring. I mean, it was just back and forth, layups, and it was just a layup drill during shoot-around. I just couldn't get into it. Now, here are the numbers. De'Aaron Fox had 2 points and 16 assists. Good for him. Marvin Bagley had 14 points for Team USA off the bench. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who was coming off the MVP run that he had for Team World last year, had just 15 points as a starter. Team USA won. Hooray, yeah. I was bored. I didn't care. Now on to Saturday night. Saturday night was 10 times more entertaining. De'Aaron Fox was robbed in the skills challenge. I think everybody knows that. Trae Young didn't complete a pass. He had to complete that pass. He had 3 opportunities, but after he misses it 3 straight times, he's allowed to move on? Okay, whatever. De'Aaron Fox was robbed. Trae Young should have had to complete those passes, and De'Aaron Fox should have won and advanced and moved on. Ultimately, Trae Young went to the final round, where we got an awesome moment as Tatum hit the half-court shot to steal the win away from Trae Young. So a little bit of karma, a little bit of justice there, but should have been De'Aaron Fox in that position, not Trae Young. But lo and behold, that's how things worked out. And then the 3-point contest, which was what everybody was interested in here in Sacramento, because Buddy Hield, who's been one of the best 3-point shooters this season, was involved for the Kings. I was a little disappointed that he didn't shoot in a Peja Stojakovic uniform, but I mean, we didn't hear any rumors of that. It's just something that I would have loved to see. But in the opening round, he put on an absolute show, did he not? Man, he was lights out from 3-point range, and it was awesome to see him advance to the final 3, which, of course, was against Steph Curry and Joe Harris, who ended up winning. Joe Harris, of all people, from the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I'm not taking anything away from Harris. He's a good player, a great shooter, apparently. I did not expect him to win. I don't think anybody expected him to win when he was picked for the field in the 3-point contest. But good on Joe Harris. Congratulations to him on getting the win. It's a shame Buddy Hield couldn't get it done, but it was great to see him put on the show that he did in the opening round. Again, All-Star Sunday, the All-Star game itself, didn't pay attention to it, didn't care. Maybe if the Kings had some representation, I would have watched it a little bit, but I just do not care about All-Star Weekend, and I'm curious if you feel the same way. Let me know at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. The Kings are in freezing cold Minnesota tonight to take on the Timberwolves. The Kings so far this season in 3 meetings with the T-Wolves are 2-1. They've won both games in Sacramento. They lost their game earlier this season in Minnesota. Now, this game has an asterisk next to it, this loss, because remember, this was the game where the Kings fell behind early and Dave Joerger elected just to rest his starters for the majority of the game. De'Aaron Fox barely played over 6 minutes. Buddy Hield was the only Kings starter to play 18 minutes. Everybody else played, most of them played less than 10. So it was really a bench game for the Kings. They waved the white flag early on and allowed the bench to play big minutes, Joerger electing to rest his starters as much as possible. I know there's a lot of controversy surrounding that game. A lot of Kings fans were upset with the fact that Joerger and the Kings didn't even really try to win that game, or that the starters didn't come back in when the bench made it somewhat of a game towards the end. The Kings ended up losing 132-105. So asterisk next to that game. In tonight's game, I fully expect the Kings to win. Now, realistically, the Minnesota Timberwolves are still kind of in the playoff race. I mean, kind of. They're 28-31 on the season. They are only four games back of the Clippers in the eighth seed, so I know they're still trying for it, and they're looking to make up ground by beating a team ahead of them in the Sacramento Kings tonight. But this is a game I expect the Kings to go out and get. I know it's cold. You've had a day's rest. You're coming off of a good win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I know there's a lot of talent on this Minnesota Timberwolves team. But if you're the Kings, because they're in this playoff race, you have to find a way to go and win this game. Just control Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins as much as possible, and you should be able to get this win. I'm hoping to see a lot more of Marvin Bagley, similar to how we've been seeing him coming off the bench, putting on a show. Can Buddy Hield build on his 34-point performance against the Oklahoma City Thunder? A lot of good things for the Kings going their way, going into this game against the Timberwolves, and based off of how they played the Thunder and based off of how they played the Warriors, even though they lost to the Warriors, I expect them to win this game in Minnesota and return home one step closer to securing a playoff berth for the first time in 12 years. It's a fun time to be a Sacramento Kings fan, and I appreciate all of you taking the time to listen to the Locked On Kings podcast here today. If you want to respond to anything at any time that we discussed here in this podcast, please do. Twitter is the best way to reach me, at MattGeorgeKHDK, but again, you can email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I'm also still taking names if you want to be a part of the fans-only podcast, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks. Let me know. Email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. That does it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. I hopefully will sound normal by then. I'm really trying to get over it. I appreciate everybody battling through my congestion and putting up with the nasally, scratchy-voiced Matt George here today. I promise you I'll try and get better as quickly as I can, and we'll be back to normal here, and we'll really be able to dive headfirst into this playoff race. Thank you to everybody for putting up with no podcast next week. I'm glad to be back. Looking forward to a lot of fun podcasts here towards the remainder of this season. Hopefully, we'll be doing some postseason Kings podcasts in the months to come. Have yourself a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. This has been the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.